Jai. Maturidam ki jai. Navinipdam ki jai. Jagadavasami ki jai. Yuvanamai ki jai. Shimati philosophy devi ki jai. Samaveda bhakta vrindi ki jai. Gaur premananda hari hari bo. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Jai Shri Prabhupada. So Om Aganati Mirandasya Niranjana Shilakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. We offer our respectful obeisances. Thank you. Unto the lotus feet of our spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who so kindly opened our eyes while we were blind in the darkness of ignorance with the torchlight of knowledge. So by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we're able to speak a little bit about the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. And we'd like to tell a few stories, but we'd like to first of all make a philosophical point. The pastimes of Lord Ramachandra are pastimes. That may seem like a simple statement, but pastimes means something that someone does just because it's play. The things that we do in this world, we do because we have to. Like, how many of you work jobs here? How many of you have to make money? Is it play? No. You have to work to make money. And what happens if you don't make money? Nobody knows? Anyway, for those of you who don't know, it means you don't eat unless you come to the Hare Krishna temple for Sunday feast. It means you don't eat, you lose your house, right?
Yes.
Mortgages? People have mortgages here? You lose your house. Probably your family will leave you. A lot of other interesting things will occur, and then you can become a sannyasi like me. So we need more sannyasis in the Krishna conscious movement. Anyway, I have to work too, incidentally. We have so many emails a day. Anyway, so I have to do so many things, you have to do so many things, but Krishna and his various expansions, such as Lord Ramachandra, they don't have to do anything. Because whatever he wants, Krishna wants, Ramachandra wants, he gets immediately. That's one of the qualities of God mentioned. It's called apta kama. Any of you ever see this old story, children's story called Aladdin's Lamp? You know, I think you know what I'm talking about, where you rub the lamp and out pops a genie. And the genie says what? Your wish is my desire. So, God has everything as his genie. Parashya shaktir vipadaya vishuyate svabhavaki jnana balakriyacha. In other words, whatever Krishna wants, whatever Lord Ramachandra wants, happens to me. He doesn't have to ask for it. He doesn't have to send his email from his BlackBerry. It's like I keep a BlackBerry in my bead bag because I need things and people have to get them for me. So he just gets it immediately. Because all of his energies, his devotees are first class servants. A first class servant gives the master what he wants before the master asks for it. A second class servant gives the master what he wants when the master asks for it. A third class servant gives the master what he wants, but he doesn't like doing it. He has a bad face. You know, just makes a face. And a 10th class servant doesn't give the master what he wants. So, I have a lot of experience of 10th class servants. Anyway, we won't talk about that right now. But Lord Ram, Krishna, has everything as his first. And in the spiritual world, guess what? Lakshmi Sahasra Sata Sambrama Sevimana Govinda Madhi Purusham Dhammahabhajami. There's many Lakshmis serving him. We would like to have one Lakshmi serving us, isn't it? Does anybody here have a Lakshmi conch? or a deity of Lakshmi, or you do Lakshmi Puja, or you're worried on Diwali, Lakshmi's going to leave your house. You ever have that anxiety? Keep the doors locked. Don't spend any money, because Lakshmi will be gone. So Krishna, Lord Ramchandra, has unlimited Lakshmis. He has no anxiety. He's not worried. Unlimited money in his bank account. Unlimited people cooking for him. Unlimited wives. Of course, for some of you men, that may be a headache, thinking of that. So, but that's God. That's Krishna. That's Lord Ram. So getting to the point, so pastimes means something he does just because he likes to do it. That's God. Everything else has a cause. You do something because you have to do it, or because when you were raised up, your parents trained you to do it. But everything God does, because he's the Sarva Karana Karanam, the cause of all causes, he does just because he likes it. Like you ask Krishna, why do you steal butter, Krishna? Any answer for that? No, because he likes to. There's no answer for it. No answer except for he likes to. Why does Krishna dance with the gopis? Because he likes to. Why does Krishna save the residents of Vrindavan? Because he likes to. Why does Lord Ram situate himself in a yoga? Why does Lord Ram kill Ravana? Because he likes to. And actually, Lord Ram asked for Ravana to come down so we could have a good fight. Ravana and his nice brother, Kumbhakarna, were these two devotees, Jai and Vijay, who came from the spiritual world. Just because Lord Ram wanted them to come down, Lord Ram and Krishna later on, Shishupala Dantavakra, and then of course, Haranyakashipu and Haranyaksha, they came down just because Krishna likes to fight in his various incarnations. Notice I'm saying Krishna. The reason I'm saying Krishna is because all the incarnations are portions or plenary portions of Krishna. Ete chansa kalapu sa. Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. So Lord Ram and Krishna, they're the same. Same person, just acting differently. That's a very important point. So anyway, so Lord Ram has very interesting pastimes, especially the pastimes of his appearance in this world. And these pastimes are Nitya Leela. In other words, they didn't just occur millions of years ago in Treta Yuga. They occurred before that in a previous Treta Yuga. And they will occur in the future if you stay around long enough. If you go through the rest of this Kali Yuga, how many more years in the Kali Yuga? 432,000 more years approximately, give or take a few days. In Kali, if you hang around a little longer, then you go through to the next Satya Yuga, and the next Treta Yuga, then you get to Lord Ram again, okay? So you can hang around or stay around long enough. Or you can travel to another universe. You can get in your Star Trek ship and travel at warp 10. There's a little science fiction for you. To another universe, and then you can see Lord Ram doing his pastime somewhere else. Or you can go to the spiritual world and see Lord Ram doing his pastime. So these are all Nitya Leela. And I'm going to tell you a story that proves this. It's a very interesting story. I told this the other night, but you all weren't here. So once upon a time, there was the sun god. What's the sun god's name? Anybody know? What? Vivaswan. Surya also. Vivaswan. And Vivaswan, many years before Lord Ram appeared, he was worshipping Lord Ram. He had the deities of Sita and Ram in his house, or in the sun, whatever. I don't know where his house is, but anyway. He keeps moving, so. Vivaswan doesn't get any vacations, except when ladies stop him. Ladies are very powerful. You know that one lady who stopped the rising of the sun. So, anyway, so Vivaswan had these Sitaram deities, and Vivaswan gave it these deities to his son. This is before, millions and millions of years before Lord Ram appeared. Who is Vivaswan's son? Manu. And Manu gave it to his son, Ikshvaku. Just like we hear in Bhagavad Gita, Imam Vivasvate Yogam. Proktavan Aham Avyam. Vivaswan Manave Praha Manu Ikshvakave Bravet. that the science of Bhagavad Gita was also spoken in the same way. So the deities of Sita and Ram were being worshipped and given to Ikshvaku, Manu, and they were passed down through all these saintly kings. Even there was someone named Anaranya, who is the predecessor or the ancient person who was the father of the father of the father of the father of Lord Ramchandra, who fought Ravana. And this particular king died, and as he was dying fighting Ravana, he cursed Ravana that Ravana would be killed by someone in his family. Anyway, so the deities were passed down all the way to Dasarath, and Dasarath had Sitaram deities, and then Dasarath gave them to Lord Ramchandra. That's nice, isn't it? You've ever had deities of yourself? But yes, we do. We look at the mirror on the wall, and we do our puja every day. Ladies do that sometimes. Decorate the deity, put jewelry on the deity, right? 2 hours, 3 hours a day. So, the puja. So, anyway, so Lord Ramchandra did not want to worship himself, so he put these deities in his closet, blocked the door of the closet. Then there was a Brahmin in the kingdom who loved Lord Ramchandra so much that he would not eat unless he saw Lord Ramchandra that day. Very devoted personality. And so the Brahmana, he was fasting like half the time because Lord Ramchandra would go out and do his kingly duties. And the Brahmana couldn't eat. So this Brahmana was getting thinner and thinner and thinner. And so Lord Ramchandra got very worried. My dear Brahmana, aren't you getting enough to eat? Because Lord Ramchandra, being the ideal king, was concerned with everyone in his kingdom. Not like modern day leaders, like, was that Marie Antoinette? Let them eat cake, you know that story? Anyway, you don't, that's a European story. So, not like modern day leaders, they're just concerned with their own selves, putting money in a Swiss bank account. Not concerned. So Lord Ram was perfect king. If anything went wrong in his kingdom, anyone had the ability to come and see Lord Ram. This is actually Indian culture, where anyone could come before the king and make a complaint. Even up to a few thousand years ago, the Emperor Ashok in India had the same policy. Some of you have heard of the Emperor Ashok, famous emperor in India. And anyone could come and complain. So Lord Ram saw this poor Brahmin. He said, my dear Brahmana, you're fasting. What's the problem? Do you need a doctor? And the Brahmana said, no, I just will not eat until I see you. So Lord Ram said, we have a perfect solution to this problem. You take the deities. And then you see me all the time, so you can eat all the time. So the Brahmin at that point got very fat. Because Brahmanas, they're supposed to have big stomachs, right? It's called the Brahman belly. So the Brahman, anyway, so he was happy, the Brahman. He was worshipping Sita Ram, Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram, Hanuman, Hanuman. Anyway, so when that Brahmana left this world, he left the world when Lord Ramchandra left the world. At the end of Lord Rama's pastimes, he said to the residents of Ayodhya, let us enter into the Sarayu River. And anyone who enters into the river with me, they get to go back to Godhead. There's only few people that have to stay here. Who had to stay? Hanuman. He told Hanuman, you're not coming. You have to stay and chant my glories all the time. And as long as people are chanting my glories, you have to stay in the material world. So that's a long time. Hanuman has to stay. And we want him to stay longer. So we'll keep chanting his glories. And by the mercy of his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, more people are chanting Rama's glories than ever before. It's amazing, isn't it? Srila Prabhupada has actually gotten everyone of all the races, nationalities, languages in the world, they're all chanting Sita Rama by Prabhupada's mercy. So anyway, this Brahmana, he thought, what am I going to do with the deities? Well, let me give them to Hanuman. He'll make good use of them. He'll worship them. So Hanuman had the deities chanting Sita Rama, Sita Rama. Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram. And so then Hanuman had some very interesting brothers. Hanuman is Vayuputra, as you all know. And so Hanuman, one of Hanuman's brothers is this great sage named Madhvacharya. We in the Krishna Consciousness Movement are disciplic descendants of Madhvacharya. That's why we're called the Brahma Madhva, Gaudiya Sampradaya. So he gave them to Madhvacharya. And Madhvacharya established those same deities in Udupi. Everybody knows where Udupi is? It's in India. It's not in New Zealand. It's not like one of the native Maori names here. Udupi. There's so many strange names here in New Zealand, I can't figure it out. But Udupi is in India, and there are the deities, Madhvacharya's other deities of dancing Gopal, and also Sitaram that were worshipped originally in the Sun dynasty. All right, so that proves the Nitya Lila aspect of Lord Ram's pastimes. All right, so let's get that back to his appearance. So, once upon a time, as everyone knows, there was a king. His name was Dasarath. Does anyone know why he was called Dasarath? No. He could fight in 10 directions at once or with 10 chariots at once. He was called an Atirath. That's better than a Maharath. That's the highest fighter you can get. He can defeat hundreds, thousands, perhaps millions of foot soldiers and chariots and elephants single-handedly. He was quite a powerful person. Of course, one time he sort of got defeated and then his wife Kaikeyi saved his life. You know that story? He got defeated, and this shows that in the Vedic system the women were also fighters. Nowadays they're fighters too, but in a different arena. But anyway. Anyway. I couldn't resist that one, by the way. So that shows that the women were not just like stay at home, roll your japatis, you know, roll the japati, get me a new japati, you know, whatever. The men would like that. They'd like the women just to roll their japatis and whatever, cook for them all day long, smile when they come home. Where the women are also people. So Kaikeyi, she saved Dasarath one time. Dasarath was in the, he was unconscious in the chariot. She ran out to the battlefield, drove the chariot to safety, and Dasarath was so thankful. He said, you got two boons in the future. And she said, I'll save up those boons. Also, when Dasarath got married to Kaikeyi, he had to, in the province of Kaikeya, he had to promise her father that her son would become the king. So there's actually some promises there in the past that Dasarath had to worry about. All right, so anyway, so there was Dasarath, and he wanted to have a son, and he had three wives, and no son was coming. Actually, I'll tell you something interesting in Sanskrit. We were just telling the devotees, a little Sanskrit joke, that some of you may not like this joke. Where's Mother Urmila? She doesn't like this joke. She knows what joke is coming. So to have three wives, right, just no questions. No questions. So that three wives is called Saputni. And so that's related to Saputna, which means to have people who are each other's enemies at home. So better to have one wife, that's enough. So Dasarath had three wives, and they got along all right with each other. There wasn't any problem. They were real friends. But there was no son coming. And Dasarath was just wondering, what should I do? And at that time, they were getting ready to perform a sacrifice, like a Rajasuya sacrifice. And Dasarath's prime minister, Sumantra, said to him, I remember hearing in the past from the four Kumaras that we're actually supposed to perform a Putra Kameshti sacrifice. That means to get a son. So let's use the same ingredients for this sacrifice. So Dasarath inquired further from his spiritual master, how do we do a Putra Kameshti? And he looked at his kitchen, he had all the ingredients, the ghee, the sugar, the honey, everything like that. But then he asked, who should be the priest? And they said, the only person who can do this Putra Kameshni sacrifice is a man who has never seen a woman in his whole life. Huh? I mean, that's a pretty hard, tall order, isn't it? So, you know, who has never seen his mother, or at least seen, you know, some other lady hanging around? Very tall, tall order. So, Vasishtha Muni said, yes, there is such a man. His name is Rishi Sringa. That means he's the Rishi with the, like, deer horn on his head. Interesting. So, anyway, so we have to make a plan to get him. And actually, he's already hanging out in the kingdom of Romapad, your friend. Romapad means the king with hairy feet, right? It's interesting how everybody got different names that indicated their personality or their body. Imagine being called King Hairyfoot. Wouldn't that be embarrassing? Or, you know, you have sages that are called, oh, bad-tempered sage. Who is that sage? Anyone know? Durvas. Oh, my dear bad-tempered guru. Please accept my obeisances and forgive me and don't get angry with me. So this sage, Rishi Sringa, he had a very interesting history. His father was Vibhandaka. Anyway, so he's in the forest. What happened, let's give the whole history, was that his father was engaged in austerities. And his father just wanted to remain celibate. So when you want to remain celibate or determined or anything like that, the demigods, they don't like that idea. Because what do? Does anyone know? They send down girls to attract you. You know, so just like Visvamrita Muni, he had Menaka, and later on Ramba, right? So in this case, with this sage, they send down, I think her name was Harsha, something like that, or the smiley girl. And so she came down, you know, the demigod sent her down, and she said, hi. I don't know what they say, I have not watched too many Bollywood films. But anyway, she waved her eyelashes at him. And she said, and she acted like a Brahmin. She said, actually, I'm interested in you, I love you. And he says, no way. No way. She said, I just want to have a child by you. And so, basically, anyway, he left some of the bodily fluid there, and she said, that's not what I had in mind, because I wanted you to fall down. So then a deer took it, and the deer had a baby, and the baby was called Rishi Sringa. So the father at that point, he actually didn't want his son to have anything more to do with women, after his brief experience. You know, he just had a traumatic experience. You know how it is when you're traumatized, you just like, don't want to do that same thing anymore. So the poor guy was thinking, he even kicked all the female tigers out of the forest, and all the female deer, everything except for his son, just to protect his son. But what he didn't realize is that you can't keep someone from being attracted to the sense objects just by taking the sense objects away. So let's get back to King Romapad for a second. King Romapad, remember, he was the one who had Rishi Sringa in his kingdom. So King Romapad had a problem in his kingdom. He was having a big drought. And the only thing that could actually cure the drought is if he brought Rishi Sringa to his kingdom. So he had a plan how to bring Rishi Sringa to his kingdom. He called for all the ladies, the nice ladies, Western ladies. Sorry. Not chaste people from India, but, you know, Western ladies, he called. And he said, my dear Western ladies, no, he actually called for the prostitutes. So he said, my dear prostitutes, you know, you have to do something. And one young one came forward and said, no problem, we'll bring Rishi Sringa there. We'll bring him to your kingdom. But I just need access to your treasury. So just give me a blank check, your credit cards. And so she constructed a floating island with palm trees on it, very beautiful, mango trees, palm trees. And to float down the river to where Rishi Sringa's ashram or his father's ashram was. And so they floated down the river and they looked with their binoculars to when Rishi Sringa's father was gone. And she came into the ashram. And she was just chanting mantras. She was acting like a brahmana. Chintamani prakata sadhana sankalpa vriksha laksha. Anyway, she was chanting all these mantras. And this Rishi Sringa, he looked up and he said, please accept my obeisances. Anyway. And she said, no, in my country we don't offer obeisances. We greet each other by hugging each other. So he didn't know it was a lady because he had no recognition or recollection. He just thought it was like a really good-looking brahmachari. So that's the problem with keeping someone innocent. They can be cheated really easily, isn't it? So, of course, we don't want to expose people to bars and prostitutes just to make sure that they know about the world. But we can tell people about these things exist. But if people are too innocent, they can be cheated. So our part of education should be, you know, telling people about the world. So anyway, so then he embraces her, and he thinks, boy, this is a nice way of offering obeisances. And then the father's coming back, and she says, oh, the father's coming. So she runs out the back door of the hut and runs back, and Rishi Sringa is all just like goo-goo at that point. You know, the father comes back and says, what happened? Why are you acting like this, you know? Like someone in love. You know how it is. You know, when you just like run into a lamppost in the middle of the night, you know, just, you know where you're. Anyway, that's someone in love. So he was just acting like someone in love, and the father said, what happened? And he described, oh, it was a nice Brahmin came here. And he described the Brahmin, so beautiful, nose and other parts of the body. And the Brahmin embraced me and kissed me. So the father was getting angry at that point. So he kept a better eye on the son, you know. So, but then the girls were just waiting for the right opportunity. So they came back. And this one lady, she was able to lure Rishi Sringa onto the boat, which was actually disguised as an island. And they went floating down back the river to Romapad's kingdom. And, of course, Rishi Sringa actually ended up marrying Romapad's daughter, who was actually Dasara's daughter, who he had given away to Romapad, but that's another story. So anyway, so then there was rain immediately in Romapad's kingdom. At the same time, Rishi Sringa's father understood what had happened. He came back to the ashram and found one of the ladies there doing swaha, swaha, swaha. And he was pretty upset. He said, where's my son? And the lady said, well, he's gone off to the kingdom. So he went running after his son. And the king, Romapad, understood how to placate this sage. So we arranged the people would say to the sage, your son is now the prince. So this is all your son's kingdom, so you better not curse the kingdom. Because it's your son's kingdom, you'll be cursing your son. You understand the logic. So anyway, so then of course we know that Dasarath went to his friend Romapad and said, can I borrow Rishi Sringa for a little while? We have to do this sacrifice. So Rishi Sringa started to perform this pushti, the putra kameshti, the putra kameshti sacrifice, and there was the kheer, the sweet rice that was produced from that, and it was divided up. You all know that story between the ladies, Kaikeyi, Kausalya, Sumitra. And Kaikeyi, who was her son? Does anyone know? Bart. And Sumitra, Lakshman, Satrughna, and and Kausalya, she had Ram. And they were all the best of friends. They all loved each other. In fact, there were two pairs amongst these boys. There was Ram and Lakshman, and Bart and Satrughna. And they were inseparable throughout their whole lives. So that's the story of the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, I don't know if we have time. Do we have time to tell a little bit more of the story? What time do we have till? We have 10 more minutes. Okay. So I'll tell this story again too, because this is very interesting. This is the story of the appearance of the Ramayana. The Ramayana story is quite interesting. The Ramayana was a verbal tradition up to a few thousand years ago. You know, sometimes you'll find that Indologists will say, oh, the Ramayana was only written down a few thousand years ago or something like that. But there was a verbal verbal edition of the Ramayana, because people are so intelligent they can remember. So the Ramayana was originally written by this sage Valmiki. And the Valmiki story is quite interesting, because Valmiki, originally, he was born in a Brahmin family, but because he was poverty stricken and it was a drought, he had trouble maintaining his family. And so he took up a very nice occupation of a dacoit. You know that story? A dacoit means that you stop people on the street and you say your money or your life. And you take their money and you're very happy. But a dacoit also has a lot of bad karma, right? When you hurt people, kill people, steal from people, the same thing will happen to you in the future. So he hadn't realized this. So he was doing his dacoitry, stopping people, killing people. That was his job. And then along comes the Sapta Rishis, you know, the seven sages. And he stops them and he says, give me your money, sages. I mean, that was pretty stupid anyway, because you don't expect the sages, you know, to have much money. Anyway, he stops them. And they ask him, aren't you aware of all the karma you're getting for stopping, killing, raping, and hurting people? And he said, yes, I'm aware of it. But I have my family, my kids, my wife. You know, this. What do you want me to do? Do you want them to starve to death? You know, they need a new car. And I got my mortgage to pay. You know, he had all these arguments to excuse his cheating. So anyway, so the sages said, we're empathic with you. You have a need to take care of your family. Anyway, it's a joke. So you have a need to take care of your family, but you love your family, right? And he said, oh, I love them like anything. They're just in my heart all the time. And I am in the heart of my family. So, and the sage said, oh, isn't this nice? Very sweet, loving relationship. So they said, all right, we'll give you whatever money you want. Just go ask your family one thing. Tell them that since you're getting all the money for them, are they willing to share the karma? You know, they're sharing the money, or they're getting all the money, not just sharing it. This poor guy had to turn everything over to his wife. So they're getting all the money, and you're doing all the work. So ask them if they'll share it. So he went to his wife and said, dear, I'm home. And she said, what have you brought for me? A new sari? And he said, no, I just have a question, dear. And she said, what's the question? And he said, I have a question. Will you share the karma that I'm getting for doing all this stuff? And she said, no way. A man's job is to work and make money. My job is just to stay at home, take care of the kids. Don't you know the Vedic system? Yeah, she was preaching the Vedas at him. This is the Vedic system, you know. Women stay home with the kids, men do the work. So, so he was thinking. And then he asked his son, you know, my dear son, you willing to share my karma? And the son said, Dad, no. Your business is to make money and send me to the uni. And my business is to enjoy. So anyway, so after a while, he got the message. There's no love in this material world. So he went back to the sages and said to the sages, hey, what am I going to do? And the sages, except the Saptarishis, they said, well, we think you should chant the Lord's name. And he said, you know, really, that's not going to work for me. I like, you know, punk songs and things like that. You know, like modern music where they talk about killing people and, you know, or, you know, I like to play these video games where you kill people. So anyway, so he told the sages, he just, you know, you got to give me some mantra I like death, death, death. So they said, all right, here's a mantra for you. Just chant this, we know that. Mara, 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 ram, 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 ram. And so he was chanting that, it turned to ram. And he was so determined. You see the determination. Utsahan nistiya dharya tatat karma pravartanat. He was, that the anthill grew around him. That's why he's called Valmiki, in fact. An anthill grew around. So when the sages came back, they heard this anthill chanting ram, 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 ram. And they said, what's happening to the anthill? It must be our old disciple, Valmiki. So then Valmiki became extremely qualified at that point, and the Lord's pastimes became revealed to him within his heart. That's what happens when you become a pure devotee. Like many of you have seen the Ramayana series on television or in the video, right? Raman Sagar. Well, guess what? When you become a pure devotee, you don't need an iPod anymore. Or a DVD player. Because you just tune in your heart. And you think, tonight I want to watch not Ram Sagar's version of the Ramayana, but Krishna's version. So you just tune in and you're watching. That's why pure devotees can be anywhere in heaven or hell. Narayana Paratsarve Nakutashtana Bibhuti Swagapavarga Narakeshu Apatulyarta Darshana. And they're always seeing things equally. Because inside, there's something going on that you're not aware of. They're actually seeing the Lord's pastimes, isn't it? That's pure devotee. They're just seeing, you know, you're thinking, like sometimes one devotee asked Prabhupada about a picture. They said, Prabhupada, you don't look very happy in this picture. And Prabhupada said, you don't know. I was experiencing the highest ecstasy in this picture. That's also why it said one shouldn't try to, you know, go in, try to understand what's happening in the mind and the heart of a pure devotee. I mean, it's not a very good idea. Anyway, so the pure devotee always has these pastimes manifest. So Valmiki Muni, he had these pastimes manifest. The whole Ramayana became manifest before his vision, his internal spiritual vision. And so it was there. It was there in the beginning, but he hadn't spoken it quite then. So one day, Valmiki Muni was out doing his meditation, or taking a bath, actually, in the river. And he saw a hunter kill a crane, a female crane and a male crane, while they were engaged in loving crane affairs. You know, Bollywood crane. So they were engaged in affairs between the she crane, he crane. And he shot them both. And then Valmiki, when he saw this, he became, because compassion, that's another point. So we're talking about pure devotees, they feel so much compassion. When they see the pain of another living entity, they cannot restrain themselves from helping. That is a hallmark of a pure devotee. Not that a pure devotee says, hey, suffer, that's your karma. Don't worry, that's your karma. I'm a pure devotee, baby. I mean, that's why we're vegetarians, isn't it? Because we see the pain and suffering that is there when the animals are dying or being killed in the slaughterhouse or the concentration camps to provide some nutrition for people at McDonald's. We can't just stop there and just say, hey, give me a Big Mac, because we think of what's happening. That's actually compassion. So anyway, so Valmiki Muni, he saw this crane couple being killed, and he cursed the hunter. He just cursed him. He said, you should never enjoy the happiness, you know, heavenly happiness or something like that. But he cursed him in such a way that it was poetic. This is the origin of poetry in this particular yuga cycle. And he was wondering, this curse he kept repeating over and over and over again. And he's wondering, why am I repeating this curse? It's such nice poetry. And then, after that, Lord Brahma appeared to him and said, you should write this whole Ramayana in the same meter, verse like this. that you've cited this curse or spoken this cursing. And this will be a great epic, this Ramayana. And so later on, the Ramayana was recited by him, as we know, to Lav and Kush, the sons of Lord Ramchandra. And Lav and Kush passed it on through the disciplic succession. And today, this Ramayana is known all over the world, as I said in the beginning of this whole talk, because of the works of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Lord Ramchandra is known all over this world, even in Malecha Desh. That means the countries where Krishna did not directly incarnate. But now Krishna incarnates how? In His holy names. So even in these countries, you know, Lord Ram didn't appear in New Zealand, I hate to inform you. You didn't know that. Anyway, so even in these countries like New Zealand, America, South America, and all these other countries, or continents, Krishna can appear, Krishna Nama Avatar. So in this age of Kali, we are so fortunate because the mercy of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement and His most dear representative, Srila Prabhupada, Krishna is incarnating and manifesting His pastimes in the Sankirtan movement started by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 500 years ago. So we can invoke the presence of Lord Ram by chanting Lord Ram's names and Krishna's names. Okay, I think that's it. So we have to end, so we want to thank everybody. Everybody listened very nicely, very nice. So you're all good bhaktas. Thank you for, gotta think of something, but thank you for sitting still and listening. And now we're gonna have an arti for their lordship. Is that right? Okay, all glories to Ram Navami, all glories to Ram, to Lord Ram, Sita Devi, and especially Hanuman, and Srila Prabhupada, and Lakshman, and Bharat, and Shatrughna, and Dasarath. Gaikai even, didn't leave anyone out, Sumantra, Kausalya, Sumitra, who else? Sita! Thank you very much. All the way to the Divine Grace.